Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Today, it's Pomp and Joe. Bob, you're down to a final hour. You're going to Ireland tonight. Y'all packed, or does your wife do your packing?
No,
how does that
she
work?
She packs. She does it. I don't, and I have to do a little bit more when I get home.
And what time's your flight?
It's later, early evening. I forget the exact time.
And what's the flight plan from here to where and then where to Ireland?
It's a direct flight.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Well,
are you flying private? Are you on a private plane?
It's a charter. So.
Oh, Bob. You're going with the team.
Well, they have multiple, you know, not the team. The team's not going until tomorrow. So. I mean, there are ways you can do this. You just have to explore options.
It's all who you know, Bob. This is incredible. Will there be food served on the plane, Bob?
Will the tail of the plane say Steelers on it?
No. No.
Will it say pumping ain't easy on it?
It might.
I don't know that.
All I know
so
is
So you're going to wake up tomorrow in Ireland.
Right.
That
and
is so cool.
We go right to work and do our thing, and there's going to be a lot. I'm anxious. There's two things. The Guinness area that they have. Where they make a lot of it, how they do it, and also the Jameson. Are you a Jameson fan?
No, but he is, right?
You like Jameson?
Didn't you say you're a Jameson guy, or am I mistaken?
I'm a Captain guy, but I like Jameson too.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm fascinated with that whole process and how many people do that. Plus, there'll be no shortage of Steeler fans. Everybody has a story.
What time will you land?
I'm not sure. It's early in the morning.
Who was I telling? Crowley yesterday? Somebody. That when I went to Ireland in 1997, it was an overnight flight and the sun was rising over Ireland as we went into our descent. And I have never seen a sight like that. The greenest green you've ever seen.
They have some great, on that island, man, they have all sorts of like cliffs and different areas that you can get to. It's
incredible.
And then if you like golf, Joe, that would be the, you know.
You have to play golf on this trip, Bob.
We'll find that's hard to do. But in Scotland, it's similar. It's unbelievable. There are some great golf courses. In Ireland, so
get out nice and early on Saturday, Bob. You'll be done by 10 a.m.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about having a five-hour head start.
Are you bringing your clubs?
No.
You'll rent them if you get there?
Yeah, there's always ways to rent.
That would be incredible. All right, let's get to Ben's podcast. Man, was he full of opinions this week.
This is the most opinionated Ben's ever been on the podcast, I think.
It's called Footballin', and... you start where you want, Limits, and you just say what the topic is. We'll listen, and then Bob and I will riff for a little while. Okay?
Yeah, we have five different things on Ben, and I think one of the most noting is Bob, Ben, not much of a fan of Broderick Jones, at least at the moment.
He's been getting hit. Okay, no sacks. Congratulations. Aaron still got hit a bunch. There's a play where Broderick Jones is standing completely upright, and the guy basically runs right through him. It's actually the play we laughed about when his guy hit Aaron as soon as he threw it. And Broderick ran by, remember, yanked his shoulder out of place. That play, if you go back and watch it, because I went back and watched two plays specifically to watch the line play. Broderick he's so upright. And you can't stand upright as a tackle. You've got to get low because guys are just going to get underneath you. James Harrison, what do you talk about? Leverage. You get a guy Like, if James Harrison was going against Broderick Jones, he'd have 15 sacks a game. I'm telling you, the low leverage he's going to get around Broderick has to be better in protecting.
So, Bob, my first thought is, where's the coaching with this guy? You have a natural talent like this. Or is the coaching there and he's just not taking to it? What's your thought?
It's probably a combination of both, but I think Ben's absolutely right. It's a leverage game with those guys. And when you're 6'6" and, you know, you have to make a point. Harrison was always good at that. He would just go so low, and he's quick. He would take advantage of most left tackles, and there were so many holding calls that weren't called. In this case, he has to do that better. While I agree with Ben that Rodgers got hit, I still put, you know, it's a game of numbers and metrics, and they had zero sacks allowed. That was mostly because Aaron Rodgers is dinking and dunking. If you look at the passing chart, and that's something that they have to improve on. They cannot have just a whole bunch of dinking and dunking. Otherwise, you know, what's the point of having Metcalf in there for now?
I'm not giving any points for not getting him sacked. I've heard people on the station talking about that. 0 points you get for that. When the game plan, it's easy to avoid sacks if you're willing to do that at all costs. You just get rid of the ball real quick.
But this is year three for Broderick Jones.
He still took a pounding. Rodgers took at least 5 good shots in that game.
And he wasn't happy with, I don't know if it was Broderick or other parts of that line. I don't know that Sam Alu's had, you know, the kind of year that you'd expect him to have, too. And I don't know if those two are not working together in harmony. Maybe that's one of the problems.
Bob, how long for Broderick Jones? I think Calvin Anderson would be the logical replacement. How long can you, like I said, people thought he really improved in week 2 and week 3. I didn't think so. He wasn't as obviously bad to the untrained eye as he was in week 1. Mm-hmm. Anybody can see when you're getting cleanly beat on the pass rush, right? But you can still be really bad in the run game, and more subtly bad as a pass rusher, and not have everybody notice it and still get poor grades. How long can this continue?
Well, I always say number one picks have 9 lives. They're not going to, you know, immediately do anything. I think you go through this game coming up, and it won't be easy against Minnesota. I think they have an underrated defense, and then you have a bye week. I think what will happen is they'll let him play, see how he plays. They'll go through the bye, make adjustments. If this continues beyond the bye week, then they may be forced to do something. But I'm not going to give up on him yet. He has too much talent. He's just got to put it together, whether that's him, the coaching, both. They can't have – and everybody knew this. You can't put Rodgers under that much pressure because ultimately it's going to knock him out. It's just – most people believe. I think Ben Roethlisberger agrees with that too. He's taken enough. He knows how it works.
Twinning is everything. Let me take a little break here before we go to your next clip, okay? Because I just saw up on the screen that teams that start in the Super Bowl era since 1966, teams that start 1-3 only make the playoffs 10.6% of the time. Well, guess who's going to start 1-3, Bob?
The Chiefs or the Ravens.
The Chiefs or the Ravens. Which one of those teams do you think would make the playoffs still at 1-3? Yeah. You think
the
Chiefs wouldn't?
No.
I think both would.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, so
I think the Chiefs are going to sneak
the Chargers in. Are going to win that division the way it's going.
Or the Broncos. Yeah.
But if they both get in, the Broncos, I don't think there's room for the Chiefs. That's, you know, nobody from the East will get there except the division winner.
Right. Nobody from the South except the division winner.
Okay, so that's two. I think two from the AFC North.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, we'll see then. If the door opens up for them.
Well, that would leave three from the AFC North.
Well, then,
West.
At some point, who else are we missing here who's off to a better start? It won't be Cincinnati. It probably won't be any of those teams. Cleveland, Denver, yes, I think they have a chance.
You're not missing anybody.
Can the Texans turn it around at 0-3? If 1-3 is bad, 10%, what's 0-3?
Could the South get 2 with the Colts and the Jags?
Yeah, the Colts are a team.
Maybe the Jags that you're
forgetting. The Colts, we're forgetting about the Colts. Indiana Jones and what he's doing, man.
Well, no, we're not because we think they're going to win the division now, don't we? Maybe. Yes.
Jags are better than I think most people thought at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, maybe them.
Maybe, but.
Yeah, you're right. Both might be in even despite 1-3. They both have. Look at the Ravens' schedule. It gets a little easier after this game, and it should. I mean, if you look at who they lost to, Buffalo, legit Super Bowl. Detroit, legit Super Bowl.
Sure.
And if they lose to Kansas City, at least you know that's a really dynamic team that's won 3 of these things.
Right.
So then it can't get any harder than that. Although I wonder about the Ravens' psyche at this point.
You
know, the way they're going and the way they've blown leads and all of this stuff, man, they got beat up. They made Lamar Jackson look a little slower than he normally is. And their run game in Detroit is just phenomenal. There's not a better run game in the league with those two.
Nobody's ever won the AFC North 3 years in a row. Can the Ravens buck that trend? Man, if you start 1-3, you got to think maybe, maybe not. I mean, maybe not. I didn't mean maybe, maybe not, Bob. I meant maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah.
I don't know. I still think they're going to be in the playoffs. They have too much talent on the roster.
I think they're still going to win the division. I think they're going to win this weekend. Do you?
Yeah, I would bet that they would be Kansas City. Kansas City still has a lot of problems. They were lucky they took on the Giants, and the Giants are a mess right now until Jackson Dart gets into the game this week. A lot of people think maybe it's too early to put Jackson Dart in, but I think Brian Daboll has to. He has to do something to turn the conversation and the narrative around on him. He's right. I don't know how much years he has as a contract, but if they don't go well this year after what they did.
If they don't go well this week and next week, it could be his only chance right now is to say, I drafted Dart, and look, he's making progress.
Jackson Dart. Gunnar Olszewski gets a first down for the Giants.
And he has Gunnar to throw to. I don't think Matt Canada would have been back after Kenny's rookie year if Kenny hadn't played pretty well down the stretch, at least later in games. I think that saved his job. And I think Jackson Dart's progression, if it happens, would save Daboll's job. It's the only thing that can at this point. Limits, what else did Ben say?
Well, Ben currently has his hand over the panic button with this offensive line.
It's a little bit cause for concern, yeah. Okay? The panic button is sitting here, right? It's in the glass case. You got to flip the glass case open, then flip the little red thing, then hit the button, okay? This team, I'm not the team as a Steeler fan. I'm just looking at the button. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm just looking at. I'm not even ready to flip the first glass case up yet, okay? But when I start thinking about my line play, my hand is right here getting ready to flip the case up. I haven't flipped the glass case up and then flipped the little red thing and then flipped it. So I got a couple more, but my hand is like, because I'm concerned with the line, because I think what it's doing is it's preventing us, them, the team, I know that part of it, preventing the Steelers from opening up the offense.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns.
You
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's exactly what Tim Benz asked Mike Tomlin yesterday, essentially what Benz asked him. You know, all this talk of we're shorthanded on defense and we have injuries and new guys, so schematically we can't do what we want. Well, Benzie got to thinking, Bob, and jumped off the top rope during this conference.
You asked earlier if the secondary issues were perhaps limiting some of the things or holding, making you hold back some of the things that you could do on defense. Are you at all being forced to hold back some things you might be able to do on offense because of some of the pass protection concerns?
No.
Ben thinks otherwise. Benzie thinks otherwise. I think otherwise. That offensive line is holding them back.
But I don't think he wants that information out there from his mouth. He's not going to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff is just...
But do you agree?
I do. I think, again, I look at pass charts, and I think it's very obvious that they're dinking and dunking more than they would like. That's not to say that's an effective play. It is an effective play when it's done smartly. But if you do it all the time, I think the defense senses that they're winning. So, yeah, you got to be able to do more. And they have for those long patterns down the field to work, he needs more than 2.5 seconds.
They're working around an offensive line that they drafted to build. It's like something that you have to, you know, compensate for instead of something that enables you to thrive. Next.
Ben also believes, as we look ahead to the Vikings, Brian Flores would have been better to keep him in-house.
You ready for this?
Brian yes.
Flores.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You heard it here, guys. I'm crossing out my W.
Hold on. I'm punching in on Evan.
And I'm putting an L. Okay. There it is. Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't. in my heart of hearts.
Break it down for us.
I mean, I want us to win, obviously. Yeah. I think we might, but I just feel like it's, you know, they do like the poll of the nation. The poll of me is 55% loss, 45. You know what I'm saying? Very close. Like, it just feels like there's a little bit that needle's moving like this. And it's because I'm afraid of our line that it's, they're not going to get it done. And they're going to, and Flores is going to take advantage of it because he's a very good defensive coordinator. He knows what he's doing. We never should have let him go. And he's going to find a way to attack. And our defense isn't going to be able to do enough to keep us in the game.
That Ben sounds like you, Joe.
Ben hasn't been this hot since he threw six touchdowns against the Colts, Bob. I mean, that's everything I think about this game, about Brian Flores. You?
Yeah, I mean, I've always had a lot of respect for him. And I thought once he got here, they would somehow, you know, you could create any role you want. You can call him the assistant head coach, associate this, associate that. He's just a good guy to have in your locker room, in your coaching staff, and I think players respond to him in the way. And however you want to divvy up, you know, the responsibilities, there's always room for a good coach. You know, again, however they want to name it and title.
Mike Tomlin should have handed his defense to Brian Flores.
Well, even if he didn't want to, he could have brought him in and say, you guys work together. Flores is my associate head coach, and you guys do what you got to do.
I don't know if Flores does that, though, because he knows he can go elsewhere and get a job to himself.
Maybe, but I'm just saying they should have done what they could to keep him around. It's good to have guys and different opinions and different success rates when it comes to how they employ defense.
Sure, but I think they came to the point where he was going to get a job elsewhere. Are you going to give me the job here, or would he be offered the job here? And it doesn't sound like that ever happened because Mike Tomlin likes to have his hands all over this. It's his
defense. And that's
defense.
Fine. You can keep that. But it doesn't hurt to have more people.
But he wouldn't have stayed as an advisor. What Tomlin should have done, which he has trouble doing, is step aside and say, it's yours. Instead of having Terrell Austin as a figurehead coordinator and Tomlin still be the coordinator.
Well, and if that were the case, then yeah, that was something they should have considered for sure. And I say that out of total respect for, Brian Flores, because of the knowledge he had, because of the fact when they brought him in here first, I knew what Mike Tomlin was doing. He was throwing out a lifeline to him after all of that stuff that happened in Miami and after his lawsuit and all this stuff. But once he got here, I thought, man, this guy's going to be here for a while. I really did. And it just didn't happen.
Didn't happen. He's too good of a coach. And man, has he been good in Minnesota? I think he's going to get another head coach.
Oh, he will
job.
Do that. Yes.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. What do we have next, Limits? What else did Ben say?
We do have a couple more from Ben. Ben wants to see a little bit of a change in how the tight ends are used, and also Ben questions the coaching again.
That's the one I want to hear next. That's the one I want to hear. We'll play it for you next, and then Bob and I will give our thoughts. This Skeens thing has taken off a little bit on social media, Bob. The thing I'm talking about is Skeens goes in with a 2.03 ERA. If he pitches, there's different equations here. It might even be 3 2/3, but just 4 innings of shutout ball will get him back under 2. One of the few pitchers in recent history, maybe there have been 50 or so ever, to finish with an ERA under 2 in this amount of innings. So 4 innings of shutout ball, what do you do? Somebody suggests you leave it up to Skeens. I think that's reasonable.
I do too. I mean, if he wants to do it, then it's his choice. If I approach him and tell him, look, you have a chance to do something that not many people ever have done. And that's end the year with a sub ERA, despite your 35 starts, whatever it is. And if he says, well, I'm okay with that. If I get to that point, yeah, you could. Or if he says the other thing, it should be up to him. And I think always those conversations happen, you know, especially in something like this.
I would completely understand if he wanted to leave the game and keep it under 2. But something tells me that Skeens would want to keep pitching if he's locked in it's a huge baseball game, not really for the Pirates, but as far as the playoff race goes, this is a giant game tonight. I think if he's locked in a battle with Hunter Green, he's going to want to stay in. Do you, Limits?
I fully agree with that. Yeah, just a competitor in you. I mean, plus it's your last start. You know, you're not going to take the hill again until spring training in February.
Maybe that's why you take it out of his hands, though. Maybe you say, you know what, you're done. I know you want to keep going. we want to preserve this for you.
Right. And I think they've been doing that all along anyway, I think. So this would continue that trend. I don't think that their plan was to let him go as, you know.
But four innings is not meant. What if it's a 4 innings, 45 pitches?
Well, again, they have to make that decision when they get to it. If he's really going and he says, I can keep going at that level, then do it. But I think he has to be consulted in this for sure. By the way, did you see the throw that Rafael Flores, first chance seeing him as a catcher last night?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive throw to gun down a guy.
That's going to be an interesting spring training battle. Let's hope they bring in some actual baseball players who are already good that there's not other, like, I don't want a left field competition.
No.
I want a guy who's good playing left field. You know, I don't really want a third base competition. I want a third baseman is what I want that nobody questions.
I want a third baseman, I want a left fielder, and I want a competent shortstop until Connor Griffin gets here in June.
Well, he might be here in April.
That's a tough one, Limits, because who's going to come here, a competent shortstop, knowing he's going to get replaced any
minute? That's
why
Triolo will probably –
I'm fine with Triolo at short until Connor
Griffin. Yeah, I am too. He's one of those masters of every position. He's a gold glove guy. But I still think Connor Griffin should be up here at the beginning of the season. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Do you think he should be up here for some major league at-bats this season? I do.
I would have thought that already, and I said that, but so far it hasn't happened. But
are they talking about that?
Are they still involved in the playoffs? Where are they? I've lost track of.
So they got eliminated over the weekend.
Altuna was.
Yeah, they lost in game three of the three-game series. You really are okay with Jared Triolo being the shortstop for like 2 months?
Yeah, what are the alternatives?
Somebody on the free agent market?
Like, yeah, but, this why, been but the, his point is, why here? Would someone come here knowing you're going to lose your job?
This would have been the perfect time for this type of IKF trade because he was decent at short, and then you move him to the bench in a utility role, which is what he's better suited as, like he's at doing in
Triolo.
Toronto.
Triolo is better than IKF.
What? As an offensive player or all around?
All around. What are you talking about? You want to go over IKF's numbers here, Limits?
Yes.
All right, let's do that. Let's do it in Pittsburgh.
Triolo couldn't hit a beach ball if you put it on a tee for him in the first half of the year.
Yeah, but he's come on better in this half of the year.
Exactly. Let's go in August. Let's go in August with IKF. A 619 OPS with zero home runs. Let's go back to July. He hit 229 with a 532 OPS and zero home runs. So could he hit a beach ball off a tee, Limits?
Why don't we compare it to Jared Triolo and what he did for a large majority of the season? Sure, he's been hot for a month. He's been better over the last month plus where he's hit four home runs. What did he do before that? Not much.
No, not much. He's not a very good hitter. Neither is IKF over the course of his whole career. What does he have, one home run this year?
He was a 290 hitter last year before they acquired him from Toronto. And then when he came here, he was a 260 hitter.
And when he came here, he stunk. He has no power. I don't know what you're talking about.
Triolo in April hit 212, hit 135 in May, in June was 200, earned a demotion to the minor leagues.
Read me IKF season stats.
All right, let me pull them up.
Pull them up, Limits.
I was looking at Triolo.
You're making it sound like he's Cal Ripken, and Triolo compared to him is Mario Mendoza. Now, compared to Mario Mendoza, Triolo might be Mario Mendoza.
Kiner Falefa, 262, 39 runs batted in, 15 steals.
OPS?
His OPS is currently sitting at 626.
Okay, so OPS, Triolo is 60 points higher in OPS and has how many home runs for this guy?
Triolo has seven home runs. IKF has one.
Yeah, right. That's all I need to know.
Me too.
IKF also has 15 more RBIs and 30 points batted.
I don't give a damn
average.
About the batting
you
average.
You don't care about batting
no,
average.
No,
okay,
I care about power. And plus, Triolo's a better fielder.
He's a better fielder, too. So that, to me, and he's more, you know, understanding
he's
the role
fine.
That he has with this team. If that means starting at shortstop, fine. And he knows what's coming.
He's not a starter in Major League Baseball.
He's actually a luxury. He's a luxury to have off the bench, I think.
He's a stopgap for 2 months. They have bigger fish to fry than who's going to play shortstop before Griffin gets
in. Somebody to play left field regularly, as you're right. As soon as they sign him, he's your starter.
Yes.
No competition.
Right.
Third base is the same thing.
And a DH.
Well, that's the other thing. What will Andrew McCutchen do? He says he wants to come back, so what will the Pirates do?
That's a great, great question. The Pirates will acquiesce and invite him back because he's Andrew McCutchen. Andrew, and he's, I think, the most beloved Pirate since Willie Stargell. I also think that if all you can do at this point in your career is play DH, you can't run anymore. You're just an okay hitter at this point. You never play the field. You better be a really good hitter, and he's not anymore. And if you look across the National League or really across all of baseball, there are so many DHs putting up better numbers. If all you're going to do is hit, you better be a really right. good hitter, and he's not. They need an upgrade at
he's
DH.
He's still one of their better hitters this year, but...
That's like being the fastest man at the Harry Callis sprinting conference.
But what I'm
conference.
Saying is I always look at DH's Jeez. Power. I like...
Harry Callis taking a stray. Wow.
That was an Anthony
that
Richardson
stray. That was an Anthony
stray.
Richardson stray from Mike Tomlin, and now it's transformed to you. You're putting him out there. No, I think you need power from DH. I want to see a DH who's getting 35 home runs or 30. You know, in that range. I don't want...
And the other thing, Bob, is he's going to be, what, 39? I'd rather... Yeah. It's always best in sports to cut bait a year early than a year too late, and they're already tempting fate with McCutcheon by continuing to bring him back. This was a nice little season. It needs to be the final one, in my opinion. You agree?
Yeah, I think, again, I want a DH that can hit a lot of home runs.
Limits, what do you think about that?
I would bring McCutcheon back, but I would tell him, look, I mean, it might be in a little bit of a reduced role. You might only play two or three times per
week.
If
that's, if I have to tell my primary DH, listen, it's going to be a reduced role and you only play two times a week, then why is he my primary DH?
You have to make decisions best for your team at this point. Not, and again, I think Andrew McCutcheon's terrific. I always have
we
what
all
he does.
Do. That's,
but it comes to a point where you have to make decisions that are better for your team. And right now they need, if they're going to spend money, that's going to be one of the prudent plays to do it. You got to get a bat, even if the guy can't play a position, just like McCutcheon. Just somebody who's going to be out there to hit the ball. I would love to see him go after Suarez.
He's about to turn third base. So would I. He's about to turn 39. He's a 0.3 WAR player. His OPS is down by 30 points this year. His home runs are down by 7. It's time. He doesn't help you in the field, obviously. He can't really run. It's time. And that's okay.
That is okay. And he'll still be one of the most popular Pirates in the history of their franchise.
Yes.
So nothing's changed in that regard. But for the Pirates to do what they have to do and take another step, they've got to figure out ways to get bats. Now, if they don't get a DH, but they do get a left fielder and a third baseman who can hit, then you can make a case maybe he should be back. Maybe not.
You get me left fielder and a third baseman who are really good, established major leaguers and good hitters, then I'll reconsider that. Maybe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits. Bob is on his way to Ireland. He needs to leave at noon. So why don't we go to the best of the Big Ben quotes, which I thought was on coaching.
Yeah, I thought this was pretty fascinating, guys. Ben was discussing the Steelers coaches in comparison to the Vikings and really heaping a lot of praise on Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores.
If I say that I think we're going to get out coached, is that controversial?
If you're telling the truth, it's not controversial.
I'll say this. I think Brian Flores is a very good defensive coordinator.
They'll let you know if it's controversial.
Yeah, sure. I'll say this. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say Brian Flores is a very good, like, he's going to call a good coordinator. I'm going to say he's better than Coach Austin, a good coordinator. I think Coach Kevin O'Connell is an exceptional offensive mind.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I just think that there's that working those things, they're going to find ways to try and exploit our defense, and their defense is going to try and find, which is what everyone does. I get it. I just think that there's a chance that it could.
Could what?
That it could.
Work probably in the advantage of the Vikings. And I'll say this about Kevin.
Who could disagree with him?
Not with Kevin O'Connell. I see he is this this year's version or whatever since he's been there, the quarterback whisperer kind of guy who knows how to develop quarterbacks. He had, last year Sam Darnold resurrected his career and turned him into a $100 million player. You know, so and he's had others before him, that he believes that he can get that out of J.J. McCarthy. That's a work in progress, but you know, he knows what he's doing with those quarterbacks for years. He's had outstanding quarterback play from players who maybe you didn't think would give him that. So I agree with that. I think he's a very good offensive mind, and they're going to have to, you know, now they got all these guys back, including Addison. That's going to be a tough task.
And Flores is a great defensive mind. Mm-hmm. I don't even see controversy there. I think Minnesota has a coaching advantage going into this game, and I'll be happy to admit if it goes the other way on Sunday.
Is it, what is the line on this now? Because it started with the Steelers as favorites, and I have no idea if it's switched, changed, whatever.
Yeah, last thing I saw, the Steelers were still favored in the game, but the line has fluctuated a little bit, maybe by a point, point and a half. Oh, now that I check it, Minnesota is favored, and it's by 2.5.
Yeah.
So it is changing.
Two and a half. That's jump. That's a big jump.
Yeah, it's moving in the Vikings' direction.
Probably based on what Carson Wentz did. I'm not convinced he's going to have another good game. Like I said earlier, Bob, I think this is one of those games where one guy, I really believe, is going to determine the outcome. If he plays well, or at least doesn't implode, I think Minnesota wins. But there is definitely an implosion factor with Carson Wentz.
Oh, there is, and it's up to them to begin that implosion factor. They got to put pressure on him and force him in the turnovers. The one thing that he's done, especially after and at the end of his time in Philly, but beyond that, he has turned the ball over. And I think if you look at pressure, that's where it all starts. If you give him time, that's the thing. He knows. He has the kind of brain, and he's done this before. He can pick you apart,
yeah.
Especially with Justin Jefferson and Addison and Hawkinson, and they don't even have their top rusher. And yet they rushed for 169 yards last week.
Aaron Jones is out. Yeah. And I mean, this is basically...
But Mason was great last week, and they moved people around on their offensive line.
And they've played him a decent amount, too, in their offense. But this is Vegas saying that on a neutral field, even though there's probably going to be a bunch of Steeler fans, kind of close to a Steeler home game, the Vikings are the better team on paper, which outside of quarterback, I would definitely agree with at almost every single position.
The last time Wentz played regularly in a season was for Washington in 2022. He started 7 games. He had 6 fumbles and 15.
The turnovers.
I don't know if they recovered the fumbles, but basically 15 turnovers in 9 starts.
Yeah, and that's my point. When you get a little pressure, he's very prone to making those kind of mistakes.
The last season he started in Philly, which was way back in 2020, he led the league with 15 interceptions. So make no mistake, he can be had in that area of the game. And that's the one area where the Steelers' defense has been good because they're getting pushed around. They're getting outgained. People are piling up yards, but they get turnovers. So if they're going to win, it's again going to be, I think, because of that and because of him specifically.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I remember when he first came into the league, didn't you think he was going to be one of these guys? Much ballyhooed.
Yes.
You know, they go, and he started his career in Philadelphia, like, man, and he carved up the Steelers the one time too there. So, and I don't know what's happened to him since, but he's not the same quarterback. However, if he gets the time, he still has the arm, and I think the awareness around him that he can go down the field and pick you apart if you allow him to.
I mean, he had that big knee injury, right? The year after he was third in the MVP voting in 2017. Anybody here know who was first?
Wrong. 2017?
Yeah.
17.
Tom Ooh. Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was going to be some quarterback probably.
Anybody him. Know who was second? Limits, if you tell me who was second in the 2017 MVP vote in the NFL, I'm going to
buy you a steak dinner.
I'm going to take you and Donnie to an even better steak dinner than the last
one. Honestly, I think I might know the answer to this.
I don't get invited.
I'm not looking at anything. Was it Derek Carr with the Raiders?
No, but okay. A good guess.
I was going to say Derek Carr too,
nervous.
But he was, I can't. Okay, who is it?
Todd Gurley.
Oh, wow.
The Gurley man.
How about how his career completely fizzled out once he got that new contract, knee injury, and he was done at like 28?
Yeah, that's interesting. Both him and Wentz pretty much disintegrated not long after that. He was a great player, Todd Gurley.
Oh, he really was. But that's how quickly things change in the NFL, in that business. And when you see injuries happen like that too, Najee Harris... Man,
no, that was hard to
watch. It was hard to watch, and so it was for James Conner. His leg got completely compromised.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Rain today and a high of Zach Banner, 72, a low of Doug Legursky, 64. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Bob, do you know who won the MVP in 2016? Limits, either one of you? Wrong.
Matt Ryan.
Matthew Stafford? I can't
Matt
remember.
Matt Ryan, good.
Was it Matt Ryan?
It's the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Good for you.
Good for you, Limits.
Thank you.
How about 2015?
Oh, here we go.
Cam Newton.
Tom Brady.
2014. He's right. He is it up in front
he
of
must
him.
Have him up
I honestly do not.
Yes,
here's
you
my,
do.
Here's my computer.
2014.
Turning it around. See, there's the reads.
Cam Newton. That
see,
was
Bob?
Back in his height. Yeah.
Yeah. They went to the Super Bowl that year, and the Broncos broke him in half.
Oh, and that Super and Bowl never 50. Was the same after that for him.
2014. Who was it?
Adrian Peterson.
Wrong. Aaron Rodgers. Followed by.
That was his last one. Yep.
Followed by a defensive player, Bob. Who was that?
2014.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Is it Revis?
No.
Aaron Donald?
No.
Yes.
No.
I was about to say Aaron Donald.
J.J. Watt.
Okay.
J.J. Watt had 3 defensive touchdowns that year and 20 and a half sacks.
It was their best offense in Houston.
Holy ostrich.
Yeah, I don't remember the 3.5 touchdown or 3 touchdowns. That's a lot of touchdowns for this guy from Minnesota had 2 in 1 week last week, Isaiah Rodgers. Never see that either.
2 long ones,
in
too.
One game.
DeMarco Murray was 3rd that year. I forgot how good he was. He ran for 1,845 yards, Bob. Man, the careers of running backs are short-lived, aren't they?
What you just did was show us, proof positive that it doesn't last long.
That is
and that's
incredible.
Why guys want their money when they can get it. I get it for that point of view.
Adrian Peterson. Oh, forget it. I'm down the rabbit hole, and I apologize for that, Bob. Who won the first MVP award of this century? In 2000, the year 2000, it was a running back.
Marshall Faulk.
Marshall Faulk, yeah.
Very good. Eddie George
he was really
finished
good,
3rd.
Boy. Both running and passing.
Holy ostrich milk. Who won it in 1996, Bob? Wrong. Brett Favre. Man, just Jerome Bettis.
Jerome's
Bettis
going
finished
right
4th. Bettis finished 4th that year, yeah. All right, forget it, Bob. I hope that you have a good trip to Ireland.
Yes, thanks. We're
Be
looking
safe,
forward
Bob.
To it. We got a lot of stuff to do down there and up there, or over there, wherever we're going. And what do you think about the game? Steelers are now underdogs by 2.5 points.
I think that they're going to win because I don't trust Carson Wentz. How about you?
If I was, well, without giving away what we're going to do on our pregame show, that's kind of how I'm thinking. It's about pressure. And what we saw last week was a good sign that they can maybe put more pressure on him. And if so, turnovers have been his story. That's to me the most productive way of beating Carson Wentz and the Vikings. Don't let him have time.
Exactly. Make him beat you. Who was the MVP in 1983, Bob? Or Limits?
Dan Marino?
Wrong. Joe Montana.
It was Joe, but it was Joe Theismann. Did you know that his name was Joe Theismann until he went to Notre Dame? And
just remember that injury he suffered. That was one
God.
Of the most... Ugh.
He was Joe Theismann, Bob. Did you know that?
No.
And then at,
Tony
at Notre
Dorsett
Dame,
was Tony Dorsett before he became Dorsett.
At Notre Dame, a very savvy PR person said, if we're going to run a campaign, it's got to be Theismann for the Heisman. You got to change the pronunciation of your name.
Is that how that worked?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
Do you know who his high school wide receiver was who would later become a rival in the NFL? Joe Theismann was throwing to who in high school? Wrong. Drew Pearson.
Okay.
Did you know that, Limits?
No.
Off the top of your head, these are hard to come up with.
Very.
In 5 seconds.
Gives you no time.
If you watch,
says wrong.
If you, if
wrong.
Do you have the replay of you guys making those horrific sounds from the last segment?
I don't.
You should have done that.
Yeah.
He said.
And you
lost,
were supposed to give us a
you're
read
the one,
over the last
you're the one who
minutes.
Does
no,
that.
No, I wasn't.
Yes. You have a message for the people.
I know.
Yes, you do.
Goodbye, Bob. I hope you... Can we get you on the air on Friday or Thursday or something?
Yeah. It depends on... What, 5 hours ahead, so... What
or are
time
you
going to
do one of those things where you're not on your own show, but you appear with Pony on the PM show? Please don't do that to us again.
That's happened a lot.
Well... Okay, it's timing. It's work-related stuff. I can't control that sometimes.
Well,
but yeah, I'll try. So 10 to 2
Friday.
Would be...
How about Friday?
10 to 2 would be... What time are we talking about?
3 to 5. No.
3 to 7.
2, 3... I don't know what the hell it would be. I don't
something
even know
like
what
that.
Time it is in L.A.
right
now.
I'll call you. And can I... So tell me what I have to do overseas. Do I have to use that that app that we have? Does
I don't
that
know.
Work?
Just use a phone.
Do you want to use the video feed?
No.
Give
that's
him a
too,
collect
that's
call.
Too much for
All
me
right.
to...
Make a collect call.
All you do
the
is
limits.
Just click the link and put your name in, and there
Would
you are.
Would you like to accept a collect call from Bob, Joe?
Yeah. Do you remember those? Do they still exist, Bob?
I don't think so.
There used to be person-to-person collect calls. Yeah. I would call my friend Dan Doran. It would be, I want to make a person-to-person collect call to Dan Doran.
And he'd have to accept it.
From Hugh.
And sometimes they don't want to accept it.
From Hugh Jass. And so then the operator would say, is there a Dan Doran? You have a Hugh Jass calling.
I like it.
And worse names than that, I might
That's
add.
That's very
limits.
Funny, Hugh Jass. Starkey. Very funny.
Goodbye, Bob.
All right, guys. Have a good
we
rest of the
you.
Day.
Bye, Bob. We love
Bob,
you.
Can you bring us presents?
There you go. What do you want for presents?
Just like a green,
like a hat.
Something that commemorates the game. A T-shirt. I'll take a T-shirt.
Oh yeah, a T-shirt that says
please,
like the Ireland game, the Steelers.
We'll give you
game.
Money.
No,
two T-shirts for this guy on
money.
The show.
Just remind me, please remind me.
Okay.
Okay. All right, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll see you. Say hi to Mark for me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.